This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. His name is Haik Teravasyan, talking about how he defines success and how he helps others to find their passions and their purpose. Haik emigrated to the United States at 13 years of age with his father, having only a few hundred dollars in their pockets. From humble beginnings in Armenia, where he lived without the luxury of running water or electricity, he is now a successful businessman. Through this experience, Haik has learned the true meaning of success and is passionate about sharing those lessons. His first book, The Power of Mindset, follows his amazing journey from growing up in a poor country of Armenia to becoming a shining example of achieving the American dream. Welcome to the show, Haik. How are you doing today?
I'm honored to be on your show, Mari. Thank you so much for having me. I am great. How about yourself?
I'm great as well, and I'm so thrilled to have you. So tell us a little bit about your story of discovering what success means to you.
Sure. I'll try to keep it short. But you know, success is one of those things that, you know, growing up, if anything, you and I kind of talked about even before when we had our first conversation, Mari, we all have this illusion, right? Thinking what success is. And to us, you know, foreign family wanted to escape the country that was, not doing so well. We, you know, kind of fell apart after the Soviet Union, dissolved, and a bunch of countries became independent, middle class almost went away. So growing up, I was always thought financial security is success, is happiness, right? So, because we never had it growing up, right? So, you know, this American dream thing got popular in the early 2000s, and a bunch of Armenian families were coming to America. Some were going to Europe. We ended up coming to U.S., and I remember my father and I were doing anything possible to make money. So I got this almost pit bull-like grip on opportunity. I became very opportunistic. I got exposed to a good insurance industry. I did really well. We became one of the top offices in the country. I was very happy. And I remember in my early 20s, I got to my first, I would say, financial success tipping point, which was my first time I made six figures. And I remember that was one of the most miserable experiences of my life, for what I thought to be success turned out to be the opposite, right? What I've been chasing all these years and desperation and all the other good stuff, right? So, and I realized, you know, at what cost did I chase the success? I sacrificed my health, my relationship, single young guy, out of shape. I gained a lot of weight. So at that point, I took a journey of self-discovery to kind of bring relationships back. You know, I started doing some, you know, short runs. It led me to marathons. It led me to a big circle of friends. It led me to, you know, marriage and children. And, you know, it actually even boosted up my business, even though I was taking time away from my business to spend on myself. I realized the power of authenticity and the power of proper leadership and all that good stuff. So long story short, I think I stumbled upon success when I realized it was more about a balance, less about obsession over one thing.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for telling that story because, you know, people talk about the American dream. My dad came to this country in the 50s, early 50s, and all he wanted to do was come to America, make $5,000, go back to Cuba and start a business. And, you know, that was his dream. Well, he ended up staying here the rest of his life. And then I was born and my sister and we all lived here. But everybody has a different idea of what the American dream is. I love that you were able to find that balance for yourself. What good does six figures do us if we're not feeling well, if we're sick, if we don't have friends? You know, it doesn't do us anything. So thank you so much for talking about that. What part does authenticity play in all of this for you?
You know, authenticity, Mari, is a very powerful word. I mean, to me, I think authenticity is everything. It's almost the example I've used before. It's like trying to have a fish try to go be a lion, or a lion trying to be a fish, right? When lion is being himself, you admire lion for who he is, right? They're not trying to copy somebody else. And I really believe when we're not authentic with ourselves, we really miss out on one of the biggest gifts God is giving us, which is to be our best self. And to be our best selves, we have to be authentic. But when we're trying to plagiarize and copy others, there's a big issue in essentially trying to be the lion who's trying to become good at swimming. No, I admire the fish because it can swim really well, not because it can roar. I admire the lion because that's king of the jungle for what it does, not because the lion is a good swimmer. So I really believe authenticity is in order for any human being to fully realize who they are. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. There's hard work, there's ethics, there's compassion, there's positivity, there's drive. But in the entire process of all these competencies I talk a lot about and you talk about, Madi, you have to be authentic. Be yourself. And one of the things I do a lot of sales coaching for, insurance and sales businesses. One thing I learned, a lot of people ask me, do you have scripts? I'm like, I don't believe in scripts. I believe in you finding what works and putting into your own words, because if you don't, it is not authentic. So business success, authenticity is huge. Personal success. Why would you be like somebody else when your best self is you? Right. So it's everything. In my opinion, authenticity is everything. Marty, it's a great question.
I love that. And as you're saying, why would you want to be anybody else if your best self is you? The learning experience I had with that is if we don't truly value ourselves, if we don't feel the worthiness of being us, that's why we're trying to be someone else, because we don't believe we're good enough. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, there was a quote I heard one time, and I do endurance races, Marty, so I get to listen to podcasts and audiobooks when I'm out doing, long sessions. And one time I heard an author speak about a book he wrote, and his book is titled after a saying. It's a long title of the book. It says, be yourself, everyone else is already taken.
Yeah.
It actually talks about authenticity. It talks about how, some of the worst leaders are the ones who assume a position of perfection. Like, I'm a leader, I'm perfect, I don't make mistakes. It almost descales the ability for people who follow them in the organization to express themselves, be themselves, and become really empowered and become very effective at what they do for a living. But those leaders who have no problem showing vulnerability, being authentic, sometimes saying, I don't know, I don't have things figured out, help me, let's work on this together, you're enabling your organization, your people, your family, your children, your friends to express themselves. And I think when you are being more you, you're realizing you're far from perfect, because perfection, in my opinion, is the lowest standard we can set ourselves. It's almost like saying, I am okay to be disappointed at all times, because nothing goes as planned. Things usually go off, right? So, and the control we have about making sure things go the way we want it to be impacts our ability to be authentic, be ourselves, accept things for what is, because I'm a big believer that it's not about what happens to you, it's about how you react.
Yes.
We all face issues, right? Some people think they've got the biggest issues in the world, but that's a very victim mentality, Marty, right? So as long as you accept life for what it is and mostly how you react, not what happens, I think it becomes easier to accept opportunities that life presents. But when you are trying to control outcome of things, most opportunities that come our way, we miss out. And I have been that victim myself, where I would play the victim game. I'm a young kid. I don't speak English. This country is not as good as I thought. American dream is false. Then I realized, no, work hard, be ethical, don't steal, don't go against man's and God's laws, be yourself. And good things take time, right? It takes 10 years to be an overnight success. But again, going back to just being yourself and working really hard about it.
I love when you say, you're saying to yourself, I'm okay to be disappointed all the time. What truth there is in that? I remember that I used to be a perfectionist. I'm working on not being one so much anymore. But I thought that was a good quality, when I was really young. I thought it was great to be a perfectionist. I didn't realize how hard I was being on myself and on others. So I love that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be disappointed in yourself all the time. That's no way to live. There's no joy in that. So can anyone be successful in their life?
I really believe so. I believe so. Marty, I'm not the most talented person. I'm not the best at taking tests. I'm not the most, I used to have huge fear of speaking in front of people, like to the point where if I talked to a group of more than 3-4 people, it was bad. I would turn different colors. I would have sweat, going back in my, on my back. And then I remember I would just get sweaty stomach, sweaty palms, muscle memory, right? It's almost like saying, can anybody get strong? Well, yeah, if you lift weights and you are consistent, right? A lot of people try it one or two times, like brush your teeth once or twice. Oh, my teeth didn't get white, they didn't get healthy, so I'm going to stop. Well, gym membership, same thing. You do it enough times until it starts working and you start seeing results. Success works the same way. The unfortunate truth about success, a lot of people quit, like when they're very close. When the journey gets tough, they don't realize that soreness, that repetition. A lot of people get excited at the beginning, then it becomes boring and stable, and then they bail out, right? So.
Yeah.
I really believe problem is not about success. It's more about learning to have grit. And grit, in my definition, is just sticking to something long term and making sure you develop and keep your passion and just repeat it and get okay with this boring repetition piece of it, right? That's what got me to, I wasn't able to run more than 2 miles when I was 250 pounds. I was out of shape. This is when I was trying to bring fitness back into my life. Well, fast 5 years, I would get up and run. Ankle would swell, take some time off, get up and run. Spend time on elliptical and treadmill and walk. And just this weekend, I ran a marathon in 3 hours and 11 minutes, which is something I never thought would be possible for me. I'm still 205 pounds because I have a heavy weightlifting background, not a light runner. Mm-hmm. It's not a great marathon time, but it's a really good marathon time for my weight. But I was able to build that stamina through repetition, not necessarily through running. It's just repeat. The boring routine that most humans are not comfortable with, the ones who actually succeed are the ones who are okay with repeating it.
I love that. Nobody talks about that. It's not heard that often that there are many boring things we have to do to be successful, whatever it is we're trying to be successful at. I love that. That's really good. And it's encouraging because, just find cute ways of getting through the boring stuff, whatever it may be, And just know that if you do it and you do it and you do it and you do it, it will be successful. So thank you so much. That's fantastic. What do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public today?
It's my belief system, but once I started running it by a lot of my mentors and started asking me questions like why, and I explained, when it made sense to them, I'm like, you know what, this is a good message. And I talk a lot about the balance, right? I'm very blessed to have a very thriving business, so I get a lot of, VPs and area executives asking me to speak to their groups and share success principles. And I always catch myself talking about not the business. I start talking about the people, right? Who do you hire? How do you inspire? How do you coach? Can you make your people better outside the office so they can be good in the office, right? So, and I always thought to myself, like, that is probably the answer, because if you can improve people's personal life, you can improve them as your employees, as your, business partners and those kind of things. And one time I read a story, very powerful story, and I'll summarize it real quick for you, Mari, and I think you'll appreciate this. You and I have very similar understanding of these, positive affirmations. It's a story about a pastor. So the pastor, pastors have really busy weeks. They don't just go to Sunday service. They do funerals. They do weddings. They do blessings. They do visitations, right? They're really busy people, right? I know my pastor really well. I'm close with him. I've served with him on the altar. I know sometimes he's all over the place, which that's a pastor's job. So this specific week, this story about the pastor, he had a really busy week. He had no time to prepare a sermon, and he had a big Sunday service coming up. So he's sitting Saturday night reading the Bible, trying to come up with a story he can share with his people on Sunday morning. And his five-year-old son keeps on interrupting and saying, "Dad, please play with me. I can't go to sleep unless you play with me." That's the thing, what they do every night. And the pastor, the father, tries to figure out a way to occupy his son's time. So he grabs a newspaper, and on the newspaper, there's a picture of the world. He rips it into small pieces, gives it to his son, and says, "Son, if you can put this world back together with this tape, come back to me, and then we'll play." And father thought he bought himself a lot of time. Son comes back in like 5 minutes with a perfect taped-up picture of the world. And the son is the dad's like, "Son, how did you do this?" Well, the son's like, "Dad, I have no idea what the world looks like, to be honest, but there was a picture of a person in the back. So I put the person together. The world took care of itself." So the pastor's like, "Can you please repeat that?" He's like, "Well, yeah, I just put the person together. The world took care of itself." Closes the Bible. He knew exactly what he was going to talk about the next morning, thanks to his five-year-old. And the message was, quit trying to fix the world and put the world together in economy and who's the president, COVID. He said, work on the person. You fix what you see in the mirror. You can influence others. You can truly make your world a better place.
Wow.
Right. So that's one of my messages. And that's one of my messages. It's quit trying to fix everybody else. If you see there's a common pattern, the world is the problem, often problem us, we have to take it into our own hands to look in the mirror and say, well, what are we doing about these problems? How can I get stronger? There's a good quote I use a lot. It says, no one cares, work harder. It truly is. And work harder means adapt, change, read, be more positive, have more faith, be a kinder husband, better dad, better businessman, better employee. Like, you just got to get better. It's not about the world, it's you. That's my message.
I love it. What a great message. What a story. My gosh, what a deep message from a little five-year-old. I just love that. That's beautiful. So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Hike a question, you can start calling in now. The number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling and we'll be right back.
21 of the world's 25 deadliest snakes live in Australia. Something every Aussie boy knows, especially when you hear something drop onto the tin roof of your cubby house and have no way of getting out. Josiah's story will make your heart beat faster and inspire you with moments of wonder. An everyday boy, but not an everyday life. Josiah by Jason Potter. Available now in ebook and paperback from www.jasonpotter.com.au and all quality bookshops.
Life isn't always easy. Work-life balance is often a struggle, and we feel we are losing control. When life becomes stressful, our work suffers, our health suffers, or worse. It doesn't have to be like this. Take the first step toward gaining control. Do it today by investing in work-life balance coaching with Christian Reiber at wellnesswithchristian.com. Christian helps you balance your life by placing control back into your hands, giving you time to live the life you deserve. Text Christian today at 716-785-2685 or visit wellnesswithchristian.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Hike Tanevazian, talking about how he defines success and how he helps others to find their passions and purpose. Let's talk a little bit about your book now, Hike, The Power of Mindset. What was your inspiration for writing it, and what can the reader expect?
You know, one, I would say the beginning reason of why I wrote the book is for selfish reasons. I've always wanted to call myself an author. So I just knew some people who were, and I just thought it was so cool to like be, to have enough self-worth to write a book. So to me, it was necessarily not the book, but like I wanted to become somebody that had enough good to share to write a book, right? So it was less about, you know, writing the book, but more about, can I become somebody who can write a book? And I really, really pushed myself to get really good at what I can. And then I eventually started putting things on paper, and all of a sudden it just flowed. I mean, the book itself, you know, it was initially, you know, I wrote it. It was like 400 or 500 pages. And then I realized my thesis was wrong. And I ran it by some of my friends who are doctors and asked them the question. I'm like, hey, can I ask you a question? When you had a thesis, you know, have you ever gone back and disagreed after you wrote the whole thing? And, you know, most of them said, yeah, absolutely. That's what they make you write. Mm-hmm. Because when you write, you might have a theory, and then you start doing research, you really dive deep into the subject, you become an expert at it, and you realize you're wrong, right? So that's kind mm-hmm. of what was mine. I wrote about what I thought success to be, which to me was, first, you figure out your financial tank. You got to get your money figured out, right? Then I talked about you use the money to buy time. First, you have time, then you use time to create into money. And then you start buying your time back, and then you use that time on yourself. You become positive. You become fit. You do self-help. You do read books, right? You hire people. I talk a lot about that. And then once you figure yourself out, you are now what I call a magnet. You start attracting the right relationships, you know, finding that special person. You get married. You have kids. So I talk about these four pillars. It was financial, F. It was fitness, right, second F. Third was F for friendship, the circle, and last F was family, right? So once I wrote this, and I went back and I completely disagreed with myself. You know, I was more cocky when I started writing the book. I became very humble at the end, realizing how much I don't know about the subject. I realized there is no order. You don't go financial first. That was just the biggest monkey on my back, because my entire life I was broke and poor, telling mm-hmm. myself money is it, money is it. So once I figured it out, I was so wrong by thinking the message was there's an order. There's no order. We always work on the biggest monkey on our back first. It's giving us most amount of reminders that we're losers, we're bad. If the weight's the issue, if the health is the issue, you fix that first. If your relationship is the issue, you fix that first, right? And then you kind of go, and this is almost inexistent perfect balance of these four pillars. It's family, fitness, finances, and friendship in a very uncontrollable order, because sometimes your business requires a lot of your time, so you sacrifice fitness. You know, sometimes your family requires a lot of time, whether if it's spending more time mm-hmm. with your spouse, more date nights, more times with your children, you sacrifice time in your business, or you sacrifice time, you know, with your friends, and so on and so forth. So I think the purpose of my book was to talk about what I really believe success to be between those four pillars, and how there's no perfect balance between all four. It's you work on what you're lacking the most first, and imperfectly balance it out as you go. So I spent 300 pages talking about that specific thing with 14 chapters and examples. We also built a website at hiketea.org where you actually have videos explaining each chapter Those lessons are actually for sale on the website as well. My editor really thought that was a good idea for me to do a video series as well. So, yeah, that was pretty much the message with my book.
You know, I just love your growth during the writing process. Writing is such a wonderful way to grow. And I'm an author myself. And I know how you start writing out one story. And I mostly write fiction, but I write encouraging fiction. And I write fiction that has messages in it. And sometimes you start out writing something and then halfway through it just becomes something else. So the book takes a life of its own. So thank you for sharing that with us. How you realized that your whole theory, your whole thesis was completely wrong, but you corrected it, and that's the good part.
Couldn't agree with you all. It almost like forms its own life, and you just have to go with it, right? Yeah, no, 100%. Very humbling experience for me to realize, doesn't matter how much you think you know, you really don't know until you almost lose yourself in researching that and just learning more about yourself and your passions.
Yeah. Good. So tell us a little bit about how to get a hold of you and your book, Hike.
We got the book on Amazon. So if you just type in my name, Hike Padavosyan, or The Power of Mindset, it comes up. It's a yellow cover with a picture of like a head with a question mark and like a bingo sign in the middle. Also through my website, Hike, HAYKT.org. And then there's ways to contact me. There's ways to, send a message and it comes directly to me and then my team. We can also review and get back to you. So that's probably the best way to get a hold of me and follow my content.
Very good. So is there something else you'd like to say to the listener, something that's really strong on your heart today?
You know, this is probably on my heart more some days than the other, but it's probably on my heart every day. I love quotes, Marty. This is a quote I heard years ago, and I shared this with my team, and they all appreciated it. It says, to live in fear is to live in the future, because we're always afraid about what could happen, right? But 98% of what we fear never does. So to live in fear is to live in the future. To live in regret is to live in the past, the could have, should have, would have, what I should have said, what I should have done, the stocks I should have purchased, you know, whatever, right? But to live happily is to live in the moment. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, I went on like a 2-hour run thinking about what it meant to me. And I realized some of the best things in my life came from the moment, like me being in the moment with my kids when they first started walking and first started talking. The mind wandering is actually a direct sign of unhappiness, right? When your mind wanders to the past or the future. So you miss out on the biggest gift we're given, which is the moment. And most good opportunities and growth and relationship building assets all come from the moment, right? So if there's anything that the listeners can get from me sharing, and a lot of these are not my lessons, I stole. I'm very good at plagiarizing good lessons, is what I learned that, you know, if you can just teach yourself to be in the moment, a lot of pillars in your life will dramatically improve.
That's great. I love that. What a beautiful saying. So give us some tips of how to teach yourself, because I used to have a wandering mind like that, and you're absolutely right. I used to be very unhappy at the time. So what are some tips for training yourself to begin to be in the moment?
It's a great question. I believe I have two-part answer to that. One is slow down and count your blessings. Count your blessings, because too many times we start focusing on all the bad, right, and it consumes us. So count your blessings. What are you thankful for? There's always somebody with a bigger struggle than you. So sometimes reminding yourself what you have is not that bad and focus on the good. That's a big one. For me specifically, to me has been fitness. Sometimes I, wake up 5 a.m. and all my good answers and everything and a lot of my issues get solved when I'm going on a bike ride or a swim or a run or I just lift weights. So I think weightlifting or, running, whatever the fitness, some people go hiking, any kind of a physical activity that gets your heart racing where you're forced to be in the moment. Because if you're not in the moment, you're in pain, right? So that piece of the pain tolerance, I believe, makes your day easier, right? It's almost like you go to work after that and you go and your kids are waking up and screaming. You're less of a victim, more about, I just faced my toughest task already. So do the tough part at the beginning of the day. It helps you take on all the other so-called challenges of the day much easier and be more present. So my answer has been, if counting blessings is a difficult one, form a difficult physical task hobby, like a workout hobby early in the mornings. To me, that's been a big, big winning factor for my day.
Wonderful. I love the counting the blessings, because if you do it, and you have to do it consciously. I remember I got into the habit where, because I've been doing my gratitude list for years, but you can easily get into the habit of just kind of like writing these things down, but without thinking about it. So I read mm-hmm. something where I got some kind of email, encouraging email that said, write, it only said three things, and I usually do 10, three things that you're thankful for, but while you're writing them, feel what it feels like to have these things. And it completely changed me. Mm-hmm. Once you get into that good feeling of it, it just changes your whole day, like you say. It completely changes the day. So I love that part. The gratitude and whatever physical that you're doing. There's something about doing a mindless task where you don't have to be adding or subtracting or thinking that allows that inspiration. I agree with you. Sometimes for me, it's doing dishes. I'm doing dishes and getting ideas, or I'm in the shower and these ideas are coming to me. So that's really good. Anything else you'd like to say?
I love it.
We still have 4 minutes.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, can't think of anything else. It's been a great interview. Well, I guess one last thing I add is, you know, how you start your day can dictate the entire day, right? One of my peers always said, find a positive person and once in a while call them in the morning and tell them you're thankful for them and ask them what they're planning to do, because sometimes that one phone call can make your day better, your week better, month, year, and life.
Wow.
So who you surround yourself with is a big, big determinator of who you're going to be. And I think it's very true. If you get to a circle of good five people in your life, five smart people, well, guess what? You're the sixth one. And unfortunately, it's true when it comes to having five deadbeats in your life, because you become the sixth one as well.
Oh, yeah. That's the negative part of it. I love that, calling somebody in the morning, somebody positive in the morning. I've never done that before. I want to have to start doing that. That's really fantastic, because you know that person's going to encourage you, and you're going to encourage them by the phone call. So it's a two-way street, and everybody wins in that one. Absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely.
It's been so great having you on the show. Was there one last thing you wanted to close with?
That's it. Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate you having me on your show. I had a great time.
Very good. So remember to go and check out Hike's website. It's really easy, hayk.org. You can also find it right on the Blog Talk page. Click right into it from there. Also, remember, even though we're live, the show is being recorded. So a replay of it will be available right after the link. Please spread this around. So many good messages, such good encouragement coming out today, and I hope that you will spread it. Thank you so much for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio, and we'll catch you next time. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. Broadcasting live from Southern California.